Tonight, for the 100th time, George W. Bush will go to bed as President of the United States. Defining the first 100 days of a presidency can be squishy business. For the past week, news organizations, including NPR, have been publishing and broadcasting stories which reviewed Mr. Bush's first 100 days and compared his performance with his predecessors. The president himself resembled a political pundit in his weekly radio address.
Ever since Franklin Roosevelt's time, the 100th day has been a media marker. But what we are marking is not 100 days of my presidency. It is 100 days of Congress and the president working together for the American people. What have we accomplished so far? I think we're making progress toward changing the tone in Washington. There's less name-calling and finger-pointing. We are sharing credit. We are learning we can make our points without making enemies.
Today is actually one day short of 100, and joining us with their impressions of the first 99 days of George W. Bush's tenure in the Oval Office are two of our regular guests. Fred Barnes is executive editor of the Weekly Standard, and Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief of the Los Angeles Times. Good morning, both of you.
Morning.
Glad to be here.
All right, let's mark this media milestone. Fred, little substance, though. House Minority Leader Dick Gephardt said, "There's been no collaboration, there's been no negotiation, there's been no consensus building." And he was talking about the president, and he said, "It is my way or the highway every day." That's not quite what the president is saying, so who's got it right?
Well, there has been some collaboration. As a matter of fact, there's been a lot of collaboration. It just hasn't been with Dick Gephardt in the House, and there's been very little with Tom Daschle in the Senate, those being the two Democratic leaders. One reason there hasn't been collaboration in the House is Republicans have hung together. They can get anything through that they want in the Senate. Certainly, there's been a lot of collaboration with Democrats on the education bill. There's been collaboration with moderate Democrats on the tax bill. It's just not quite the era of bipartisanship that some believe Bush was talking about during the campaign.
Doyle.
You know, I think there was a lot of confusion about George W. Bush when he talked about bipartisanship and civility. Did he mean he was really going to roll over for the Democrats and move to the center? Well, he's shown that that isn't the kind of civility he meant. He has brought a nicer tone to Washington, that's true, although I suspect that's mostly because Bill Clinton isn't in the District of Columbia anymore. Bill Clinton was someone who made Republicans passionate. One of the interesting phenomena in this political season is that Democrats out in the country, and even some centrist Democrats in Congress, aren't as passionately opposed to George W. Bush the way Republicans used to be passionately opposed to Bill Clinton.
And the Republicans also are giving President Bush a very high approval rating, more so than the Democrats were giving to President Clinton when he was elected.
That's right. Look, 100 days is clearly too early to measure how a presidency is going to turn out. It's 1/16th of his term. It's like measuring a baseball game by the first inning. But it is a place where you can take a look at what kind of start he's made. He started out with 48% of the vote of the American public. His approval rating is now somewhere around 60%. That's not too shabby.
And for a president who did not win the popular vote, that's an interesting statistic. Let's talk a little bit about what has actually happened. Fred, do you think there's been a high point for the president in the past 3 months, maybe the tax plan and the budget getting through the House?
Well, it's hard to pick out a real high point. Perhaps it was his speech to Congress. You know, the president doesn't like to appear on TV at press conferences and speeches much, except for the big ones. And then the big one was, of course, the inaugural speech and then his joint session speech in late February to Congress, which went over very, very well. Now, you know, we really haven't learned that much about the president, but we do know a couple things. One is, of course, that he really doesn't like to be in Washington. I don't know whether people have noticed or not, but he's away almost every weekend. He goes to Camp David. He goes to his ranch in Crawford, Texas. He doesn't like to hang around town. He's the least Washington-oriented president we've had in a long time, though many of them ran against Washington. He doesn't stay around much. And secondly, the thing I'm struck by, maybe because I edit a conservative magazine, is the way Bush has locked up his conservative base. It is amazing. I mean, they have stuck with him on China. They have stuck with him when he names gays to positions in the White House. They've stuck with him when he, after being somewhat anti-environment, becomes the very pro-environment. He has locked it up, and that's important politically.
And that gives him a solid base to do exactly what Democrats like Dick Gephardt are complaining about. It's what in the Senate they call a 51-vote strategy. You just need to peel away one or two or three Democrats. Now, they're right. There haven't been a lot of real negotiations until now. We're about to see in the next 100 days the test of whether George W. Bush can do that successfully, both on his tax cut and on that education bill. The education bill is going to be fascinating because Democrats have come a long way toward him in policy, but they are holding out big time for more spending than he wants to put in.
What about the environment, though? What about some of these environmental measures that have been set up by the Clinton administration that he's...
Well, the arsenic one was a booby trap. For 7 years and 360-plus days, the water seemed to be fine. Then right as Clinton was leaving, it's poisonous, and he reduced the number of parts per billion that could be of arsenic in the water, which occurs naturally. It's not as if polluters are putting it in there. And the president, I'll have to say, he stepped right into the booby trap, and that's certainly being used against him in a Democratic Party ad now. There was that. There was the carbon dioxide that was getting out of the Kyoto Treaty that I don't think any of those things matter individually that much. Together, it created an image of the president that he's not going to protect the environment. And boy, have they reacted to that at the White House, going the other direction on diesel fuel and lead and anything else they can find. Now, I don't know whether the decisions ultimately were different than they would have been, but they were certainly made a lot sooner.
Yeah, you can call arsenic a booby trap, but people in the White House will admit it was also their biggest tactical mistake. To me, one of the impressive things is they recognized it early. They figured it out. They convened a whole set of emergency meetings. How do we avoid doing this again? And when the next couple of cases came up, the first one being salmonella, the question of whether you would relax the requirements for testing ground meat in school lunches, they got on top of that story within one day. They have been very good at quick response. I think it's fair to say that operationally, just tactically, not policies, but just the way they manage, this is actually one of the smoothest running White Houses in its first 100 days we've known, a big contrast to Bill Clinton's White House, where it was rocking and rolling for the first 100 days.
Foreign policy. The president came with limited foreign policy experience, and of course he's had to handle the crisis with China over the Navy plane and the Chinese fighter. Touched a little bit on the Balkans, the Middle East, certainly. Do you think he has been tested in any kind of telling way yet?
Well, I don't think the China thing really rises to the crisis level. I know people have compared it to John F. Kennedy and the Bay of Pigs. Hardly that serious. It was always clear the hostages were going to come back, that they were not going to be executed. What the president has done is bring in a new overarching theme to his foreign policy, very different from Bill Clinton's. While Bill Clinton was very multilateral, wanted to act with the allies, the UN and so on, NATO, President Bush has done a number of things unilaterally, get out of the talks with North Korea, get out of the Kyoto Treaty. That is what he wants to do. And of course, he said that on nuclear arms, we're going to build what we want here in the United States. We're not going to worry about what the Russians think. We're going to build a missile defense system that some other countries around the world don't like. And then the other thing that is striking to me is how pro-Israel President Bush is. Unlike his father, he likes the Prime Minister of Israel, Ariel Sharon, met him in 1998, and has been very distant from Yasser Arafat, the Palestinian leader, has refused to have him to the White House.
And all those unilateral actions have ruffled a lot of feathers abroad, sometimes on purpose. Sometimes, as Fred says, it's been deliberate. There have been a couple of gaffes. There have been a couple of missteps. Colin Powell and the White House were out of sync with each other on Korea. What the president said on Taiwan was only one-third of a three-part policy, and he had to scurry back in later interviews to put back the other two-thirds in. So I think they have been a little bit tentative, a little bit unsure of their ground on foreign policy. The real tests are still to come.
Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Fred Barnes is Executive Editor of the Weekly Standard. Thank you both.
Thank you, Leanne.